today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
But what about the cricket? It has its own pain points. You got to learn a whole new
cricket. I want cricket.
Cricket Wireless, I think, is owned by AT&T.
See, there it is, America. Yeah, bend over and grease yourself up because AT&T with their giant FU hog is coming to get you. This was about 17 hours ago. There was a large black bear lumbering through the Crocker House property this morning.
Whoa.
Lumbering. Continuing on through Ted O'Mara's yard across Beach Lane into this other family's house that's there, and then back into the woods. And it is signed by my sister, Kathy.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Today's episode of The Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our bonus packages. Please go to MikeO'MaraShow.com and click on the bonus banner. You'll get access to all of our bonus content, and even better, you'll be helping out TMOS. So please, quit sucking, and we thank you.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store, and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's The Mike O'Mara Show.
For a very long time, men have feigned having a full head of hair just because they grow it longer.
Mm. And, yes, I tried it,
and they can do. Yeah, you did. You did it too on steroids.
Yes,
where you were desperately losing your hair. You were probably having every morning a hair in the drain every single morning. It was falling out so fast, and that is when you went into your ponytail phase.
Exactly.
Where you had long hair because you were saying goodbye. Well, what was your mindset?
Did you grow it out for locks of love, or did you give it away after you grew it out?
Well, you know what? It got to a point where it
remember,
didn't
God
get long
is listening.
Enough that I could donate it, so I did grow it out, and then I did donate it to locks of love. And Carrie said one of her greatest lines ever. She said, somewhere a poor child with
God
cancer.
God is listening, Rob.
I know. Everybody is. Numbers are up. Carrie said, somewhere a poor child with cancer now has a graying, receding hairline.
And we cut it on stage at the State Theater in Falls Church, Virginia.
In a great turn of events, we had all, you bring a bag, like when you get ready for a show, and we had all our bags in the dressing room, and I dropped my ponytail into what I thought was my bag, but it was your bag, and Carla reached in when she
got home.
It was
one of the grossest things I've ever experienced.
Yeah.
It was gross. Carla, what are you Carla, what are you cooking? Oh, man, it smells good.
What is it?
It's just eggs, but she's making her breakfast. So you're cooking regular fresh eggs, and I got the Jimmy Dean microwave? All right. Awesome. Well, at least she threw them in for me. And
the late Jimmy Dean, Mike.
The late Jimmy Dean. Wonderful man I actually met. So what was I talking about?
Well, your hair.
Yeah, my hair's
and how when you
weird.
Signed on today, you looked like either Bill Haley or Superman. You had a spit curl.
Out of the shower, no product today.
Yeah,
there it is.
Looks like a hairpiece.
Mike, I love that
it's
you're growing.
Valkyrie.
That haircut seemed severe when you first got it, but it's really coming in nice.
Well, it's white on the side and it's black on top.
You're World War II buff.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
There we go. Yes, sir.
History.
Yes. Can you get the bomb into the Wolf Slayer? Can you? I love Valkyrie, by the way. I've decided I really love Valkyrie, even though Tom Cruise doesn't pretend to have a German accent, which is really a British accent, you know?
Well, I have a question about Valkyrie. I've never seen it. What was the premise?
I'd send you to the front if I didn't think you'd be Rommel's whore. What? I'm sorry. What was that?
What was the premise of the movie?
Thumbnail
Valkyrie was a Colonel Stauffenberg, the true story of a man who spearheaded an effort to assassinate Adolf Hitler towards the end of World War II. They wanted to get rid of him to end the war before there were the mass casualties as people were dying so much in Germany. And one of the reasons they didn't get him is because they moved this meeting where they were going to bring a bomb in.
Right.
And the whole idea of the bomb was to be in an airtight bunker that would have blown everybody's brains out when the bomb went off. Ooh. The sheer level of the blast. Wow. And they moved it to an above ground place with windows open, and the bomb, while
effective,
you know, causing damage, did not kill Hitler. And then, of course, they were all executed after that.
How long before the war ended, or Hitler?
Very shortly after. Okay. Shortly thereafter the war ended. I'm not sure what the exact years were, but it's a fascinating story, you know, about these guys that were having a crisis of conscience, a little late in my opinion, but still, you know, they wanted to take out Hitler. And really, there were people that said rats deserting a sinking ship, which is kind of true. But at the same time, at least they wanted to try to get them. And they were very brave to try to do it. And they lost their lives because of it.
Mike, as a dialectician, I have a question for you, because there's two schools of thought. Actually, I guess three. When portraying Germans on screen, one is to let them speak German and then subtitle it. They do that sometimes.
Right.
Then there's the Hogan's Heroes model, where they speak in an over-the-top German accent in English.
Right.
But sometimes in classic war movies, the Germans speak with British accents. Why do you think they do that?
I have no idea. I know that happens all the time. I would say the vast majority of war movies that portray the Germans have them with English accents.
Right.
And I don't get that. You know, I mean, you go back and it's strange. It's strange. You know, I think subtitles are, I'm becoming more of a fan of subtitles when you consider a program like Narcos, where I would say 60% of the dialogue is Spanish and subtitled Spanish, but I'm riveted to it because I think it educates you more as to it. Like, for example, the movie Patton, where the Nazis are speaking German and with subtitles. And I think it has far more impact to hear what they really sound
opinion,
like.
The film scholar opinion of subtitles is it allows them to act more purely because they're speaking in the native tongue. So you get to hear the emotion, but then see the words in conjunction.
But it's more pleasant to hear, and maybe, of course I'm biased, Spanish or Portuguese or French than it is German with subtitles.
Well, but Germany, the British, I think in a movie like Valkyrie, the majority of the cast is British. Mm. So if the majority of the cast is British and you have it consistent throughout the entire time, it's more the look they're going for.
But
Kenneth Branagh, a British actor, looks like a Nazi. He looks German. He really, really does. And he's one of the Germans. But Tom Cruise, being the star that he was, says, well, then you're not going to be able to kill Hitler. He's got that English accent.
Andy's too short. Too short.
He's
to
very short. Yes,
I think the best use of subtitles was on Honey Boo Boo. It really helped me follow the plot.
Well, that's when you know you have a serious problem with the English language.
Yes.
When you're putting subtitles on there, where they have to be. And by the way, closed captioning, based on my deafness now, I am doing it. What did I watch last night? Killing Eve. I am struggling to get. I was watching my Killing Eve on Apple TV, and because I wanted to get all that dialect, and Apple TV, great job in hiding. There's one platform, one streaming platform that is above all others, and it's the Mac Daddy. It is Netflix. They do pause, start, all of it better. Yeah. They do subtitles better. User friendly.
Of course.
All the other ones are like it's an afterthought with the nerds that got too caught up in it.
I really
I feel like Hulu doesn't really want me to use it. They don't want me to be there. Yeah.
Hulu's the worst.
It's fine. Well, we have it here at the studio, and every time, and this is when you know you. A guy who loves tech hates an interface. Is Shannon knows how to use it better than I do. I literally give her the remote. I'm like, I don't know how to find any live programming on this.
Wow, you surrender.
I don't know. This is not something I want to deal with. And by the way, I don't know. I remember us floating a rumor that they had a patent on the interface for Netflix. That's why it's so good, and everybody else sucks. Like, Hulu's not as good. Prime's not as good. Amazon Prime.
Right.
And I still can't find documentation that says so. Why anyone would build something on purpose that's not like Netflix and just kind of redesigned like an IBM?
So it's not proprietary, and maybe they could all use it, is what you're saying, right?
Yeah, they could all do it a little differently, but not, hey, let's make it look like Hulu's way. Let's make it look like Amazon Prime's way. No, take what you got that works and then, like, remix it. Just change it a little bit.
Yeah. Well, Hulu, I think, is just... using the platform to squeeze every possible nickel out of us that they can. Now, it's a subscription service. Then you turn it on. Last night, I want to watch. Remember that show, Little Fires Everywhere?
Yeah, I told you it's a Hulu original.
Yeah. Wonderful programming. We're wrapping it up last night, okay? It's coming to the big crescendo. Yeah, having a little crescendo, Mr. Powers. And I want to watch the end of this. And so I turn it on, get a commercial. Then I get the previews or the previously on, which when you're binging, previously on is not convenient. The fact that you've got a streaming and you got to do the previously on, and then, by the way, on my program, which I raved about yesterday, they go to commercial like somebody took a hatchet to it. There's no fade out. It's like chop. There it is. And which you guys said it was a Hulu original. I still think it might be somewhere else because the commercials are chopped in like that. And
you could always upgrade your Hulu and go commercial free. Ka-ching. Yes.
Yeah. Ka-ching, ka-ching.
Right.
But I don't.
That's what they're hoping for.
I was yelling at the TV like Pee-wee Herman last night. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to watch a new episode.
I sat in bed roughly 10:30. Man, when you're in quarantine, you just go to bed early.
Sometimes. Really right.
Yeah. So
11:15 for me, which was early last night.
What do you want to watch? And I said, well, we watched The Last Dance. By the way, even if you're not a sports fan, you'll enjoy it. A lot of fun.
I'm just such a not basketball guy.
Mike,
that's hard for me.
It's the interpersonal. You're going to love the drive and the way people like push each other.
And that's 10 episodes, yeah. Right? 10 episodes documentary episodes.
Jordan and Phil Jackson and Scotty, the interpersonal relationships and how they pushed each other to win at all costs, you're going to love that. You're going
to
love that.
Yeah, but is it really that hard to win when you go run, 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 score, run, 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 score, run, 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 score, run, 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 score? Sorry, that's my – you know, hey, how many years did I take crap about hockey, okay? I can dole out a little crap about basketball once in a while.
And I would love to see Scottie Pippen's success at a podcast.
I can summarize my feeling about basketball and my winter sport, which was hockey.
Yeah.
In my hometown, mm-hmm. the kids either play basketball or hockey. And this is basketball is run, run, score, run, run, score, run, run, score. Run, hockey score. Is run, 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 skate, 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 skate,
run,
skate,
run,
skate.
Run, run,
score!
Run,
run.
Yeah. See?
Scoring was a big deal. And and I didn't do a lot of scoring
You get a better appreciation for the sport.
Well, my favorite winter sport doesn't get any love at all, which is improv.
Okay. thanks for sharing that. I appreciate that. No, I always have felt that basketball, I don't want to diss something that people love. I really don't because
everyone's allowed to have an opinion. It's fine.
If you love basketball, fantastic. That's great. I have always felt that a sport where you already have a decided advantage simply the way you came out of the womb and you mm-hmm. happen to be 8 feet tall. And I've seen these guys that really, I think if you got them on any other playing field, they'd probably be falling. Now, Michael Jordan is an exception to that. Right. LeBron James is an exception to that. But you've seen the Manute Bowls.
What other
sport would Manute Bowl have played than basketball?
90s, please. The new game is this young, slim, shorter prototype that can shoot threes. Just drains threes left and
gotta
right.
Gotta sink those sick threes.
Yeah. What? So Steph Curry. Steph Curry has made a little kids like Luka that'll never.
He's not short though.
He'll never see 6 feet in his life. He'll never see it.
Is he under 6 feet?
He's under 6 feet. Yes.
Steph Curry is under 6 feet.
No. I think he's 6'2", if I'm not mistaken.
Thank you.
Yeah,
he's my height.
But that's not Manute Bowl.
No, you're right.
But I'm saying, I was using Manute Bol as the extreme example. I quite simply, mm-hmm. I do not like the score, 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 score. By the way, I can appreciate a basketball game as much as the next guy. I will watch a championship game. I just don't spend a lot of time on basketball.
6'3".
Yeah. That's awesome. Just stand next to him and tell me how he will never see 6 feet.
No, right?
He was talking about Luka.
Luka.
He was talking about Luka not making six feet.
But he's inspired guys that aren't like all muscle and just like all sport all the time.
But you know what sport Luka could excel in? Hockey's getting bigger too. Hockey, they're usually north of Highline. How tall is your son now, Rob?
He is now just about to crest 6'4".
Damn.
Depends on how he comes.
6'4".
About how
he should be slinging the basketball, not
what
sandwiches.
What year is he in?
He's if there is school this fall, he will be a senior in high school.
Oh, and he never has had the desire to go out for the varsity.
No, but he's still, you know what? He plays basketball. He goes out and shoots hoops just about every day. If weather permits during the quarantine, he's out there throwing the ball. He loves it.
Is he good enough to be on the varsity, do you think?
He's not a great runner. He's never been a good runner, and it's always been sort of the case. He enjoys it, but I don't think he has that edge.
6'4"? How many 6'4"s are in your kid's high school?
Not a lot. He is tall. He is thin.
Does he have duck feet? What's going on?
No, it's just he's never been a good runner. It's a Spiewak thing.
Oh, okay.
I had it too.
I feel of like course, his father looked like he was athletic at one point.
Well, my father did play some varsity sports, and his father he's actually in the New Jersey Athletic Hall of Fame for coaching sports, basketball.
Oh my God.
But I guess I came through my mother's side.
They say
side.
Generations degrade over time, so.
This looks like he's, I saw a picture of him recently when he was on the, it was the cocktail party where he came by. He looks like he's lean, mean, and fighting shape.
He's
great, you know.
Yeah, I just don't know. He's never really wanted to go that varsity angle. He's still involved at school. He does the stuff that he does, and he likes to play basketball for pleasure. And I've never pushed my kids to, like, when Julia did theater, it was such a thrill for me because I never said,
you should
do theater. And no, I'm saying that I never pushed her in that direction.
You weren't a stage dad.
Yeah, I wasn't a stage dad. And when she did improv, I was very, very pleased about that. And then it turned out she really wanted to do sound and not be on the stage, which I thought was a waste because I thought she was great on the stage, but it was very cool that she was doing sound too. And, you know Robert, when he did his county league basketball, I was out there for the games and stuff like that. But I didn't push him to do varsity if he didn't want to do it. So.
Well, if he's living a happy life, man, I get it. It's just, I guess the short guys in all of us wish we had, like, I wish I would have sniffed.
Are there any areas, this is a parenting question.
Yeah.
By the way, I kind of go along with that. I think that sometimes if you push, we all face that dilemma as a parent.
They push back and you get further away.
They push back, but at the same time,
didn't push me, they beat me.
I look back and wish my parents had kicked my ass in academics more. I wish I'd been held to a higher standard because I think I could have cut it. And I didn't. And that's the area specifically of mathematics. How many people in America go, oh, I hate math? Well, who likes math? Bill Gates likes math. You know what I mean? Yeah. You have natural abilities, but if you don't think that there was pushing and effort and, sacrifice at a young age to get to where some of these math guys are, there is. And I think you can look at examples of it all over the place. It's a fine line. I totally believe in a child's happiness being part of it. But at the same time, I weigh it, especially with my son right now, against, don't you think we should nudge a little bit more as
when
parents
needed,
sometimes?
You know what? I won't single out either of my children, but I'll say this. One of them really didn't need to be pushed, and one of them did.
Mm.
And we did when we needed to, and he has done quite well. But he needs to be reminded. You need to light the fire sometimes.
Yeah,
and it doesn't tend to be like testing or actual like projects or stuff like that. It's the grind work, like homework and daily assignments and stuff like that. Stuff that's easy for them to blow off. You got to make sure they do it. And that's because, that the devil's in the details. We see it in real life all the time. And if you start ignoring it, then they'll ignore it when they're grown.
Well, you guys have a disadvantage as well. If you hit your kids or beat them, they'd probably tell a friend at work, right? And then at school, and then all of a sudden you're like in social services.
Right.
If a Latin, Haitian, or Dominican kid gets beat, they don't tell anybody. We can keep a secret.
Right.
So you're only as good as the tools you have to parent.
That's funny. Hey, the one thing I was thinking about your kid with varsity basketball, though, even going into his senior year, he could dunk. He didn't have to run. He doesn't have to run that much. I mean, so the big men don't run. Does any part of you harbor a desire, or is your hatred of competitive sports so deep that you could give a rat's ass whether he plays or not?
I would love to see him do it if it would make him happy. If I could see him as happy, like the last season he did. So it was the end of last year. He did community ball. Like the league for the county, I saw a fun in his play that I had never seen before, like laughing when his friends would make a mistake or a stupid error or something like that, that he was really having a good time with it. And if it's not going to bring him that kind of joy, I don't want to see it. I don't want it to be another, I don't want it to stress him. If it's not good enough to get him a scholarship, but it's just going to stress him in his senior year, what's the point? He can still have fun with his friends.
6'4". Wow. I thought he was tall. I didn't know.
Almost
he was that
6'4".
Tall.
Yeah. Amazing. Yeah. So we shall see.
That is truly amazing. I you know, I'm sitting here as a 60-year-old father with a 6-year-old child, and I'm looking out when I take him over to the golf course and or I ask him to go out and throw the ball right now. This pandemic, I don't know what you guys are dealing with, but in my house, it's really the screen time is beware, because it really becomes the only thing that really matters. And that is really something
Julia's playing Animal Crossing for 8 hours a day. I don't think that's going on.
It's really, you're sitting there and you've got your time to manage and all this. It is a very, very, very tough situation.
I go upstairs. I say, Julia, how's your day? She says, new carpeting for my cabin. My island's great. I say, yeah. Superb.
I hear, hey, I found the woodland mansion. It's in there 10 minutes talking to me about the woodland mansion.
It's so sweet, though, that you sit there and pretend. My dad would literally, he'd create an emergency and walk away. He'd be like, oh, I forgot I got to call work. And he'd roll away to his office.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm like, all right. And I look at mom and be like, he's got to work.
Yeah.
Carl and I were talking about this this COVID thing. And, you know, we've got a governor that is very aggressive with reopening. And and so we think about school. I get freaked out. I'm totally freaked out. They start school August 12th. Mm-hmm. I am totally freaked out by
and
that.
And right Carl now, that's set in stone. They're going to do it on the 12th.
I don't know yet. They haven't made that.
I don't think
Florida
is changing anything.
Right. I think Florida is going to be. Yeah. School year starts again. They're going to start. I think that's the.
I was on a call with the guy from Facebook yesterday, trying to work on our stream just to optimize, to learn a little bit more. And he goes, "Where are you guys located?" I'm like, "DC." He's like, "How everybody wearing masks up there?" And I said, "Yeah." I was like, "I think for the majority, I would say not everybody, but 95%."
Yeah.
And he said, "No one's wearing masks down here." I was like, "Where are you?" He goes, "Orlando."
Orlando, Florida. Yeah. Yeah. And by the way, you don't know. No one knows for sure right now.
The only people in Orlando that are wearing masks are the characters at Disney.
Yeah. That's it.
That's it.
But I worry about that. But Carla, on the other hand, so I said, "I just don't know about August 12th. She said, "No, that's fine."
Oh, she's done. She's done.
She says, "Yeah, that's fine. Put him back in.
He's strong.
Put him
He's
back
very
in."
Strong.
I said,
"He's strong."
And then I looked over her and I said, and I wasn't making it about him. I was about me. I looked over. I said, "Carla, I'm the one that's going to die." Just say that. Pause. 1-1,002. And then he looks back at me and goes, "But he really needs school." Okay, thank you. Thank you, Rick. It's the truth. It's exactly what she said, you know? Yeah,
it's so
you
funny. Know,
which means in my own people, home, I, yes.
Many people have made it to great success with a single parent, but you always need school.
Mm-hmm. You need school, right?
You do.
Right. And,
you do.
Yeah. So here's to me. I am expendable. Now we can start the show.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomaraShow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
You know, if you'd come 2 hours earlier, we could have had dinner together. I made great beef stew.
Thanks.
What else can I get for you?
No, Mother, I'll tell you, I'm really not hungry at all. I ate at a truck stop, so this is fine.
Well, I have some cold spaghetti, but it has meat sauce in it. Can you eat lamb chops?
Well, what the hell is a lamb? It's meat. I told you, I don't eat it.
Well, it's not a cow. I didn't know if it was the animal you were siding with or the whole thing.
The whole thing.
You want some cheese?
No, the salad is fine, I promise.
Oh. I'm gonna give you some cheese.
That's a lot of cheese.
Got it in hunks.
Mother, look at the date. It's 3 years old.
Well, it's been in the freezer.
Yeah, but how cheap was it that you wanted to buy this much of it?
Honey, this is wonderful cheese. It comes from Switzerland. Very hard to get.
How could it be hard to get? It's all here. I don't want the cheese.
Now, dear.
Mother, stop. I don't want any. I don't want any.
Stop.
Like this old house.
Well, haven't even tried it.
I can tell by the gross weight I'm not going to like it. I like my cheeses in the ounces. When they weigh as much as a Fiat, I get worried.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana. And now, from his office chair, here's Mike.
Hey, everybody. How's your pandemic? This is the Mike O'Mara Show. Hanging in there, I hope. A lot of people around the country dealing with different situations. And we are coming to you from the Podcast Village Studios in our nation's capital, Washington, D.C. Also, Leesburg, Virginia, and Fort Myers, Florida. This is the Mike O'Mara Show. And we can be heard all over the world. Gabs, Nevada. And by the way, send Rob your locations. Doesn't matter if it's even a teeny, teeny area. The Perry District of Spokane, Washington.
Love that.
That got
area.
A mansion yes. this week.
Wonderful place.
And that's
wonderful.
Like minutia, right? The Perry District. I don't know. You know.
Small.
The Katy Perry District of Spokane. Jonesboro, Tennessee. Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Quincy, Illinois. And Potsdam, Germany. The Mike O'Mara Show is on now. Brought to you by Cornerstone. We love them. Mortgage loan availability has fallen to a six-year low. Lenders have recently reduced programs and raised minimum credit requirements to offset potential losses from COVID-19. So it's more important than ever to work with a team that you can trust. The team at Cornerstone First Financial is keeping up with the latest changes to make sure you get the best rate and program for all of your mortgage needs. Whether it's a purchase or a refinance, their low rate guarantee and the fact that they are a lender and a broker allows them to have all the programs available, not just a one size fits all. Call my friend Mark Livingstone at Cornerstone First Financial, 202-625-1221, or online at cornerstonefirst.com. As states reopen, buying and selling housing activity will be unprecedented, and people will need to tap into their home's equity. Don't call a loan salesperson. Call a loan professional. Cornerstone First Financial, 202-625-1221, or cornerstonefirst.com. Cornerstone First Financial. Personal attention from application to closing, and we appreciate their business. They are in our building. They are actually
good folk, right there,
and we love the fact that they advertise on the Mike O'Mara Show. So let's do this, because I want to get to it early in the show. Let's get our mailbag. We'll go through that now, and then we will have the rest of the week to react to all the tragic things going on in our life. And remind me.
Silver linings, Mike. Possible vaccine on the horizon. Silver linings.
I'd love to talk. Well, it seems like every week there's a possible vaccine, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they're really
closer.
I hope. But that's going to be the key to like going out to a ball game.
Yeah.
Or going out to a movie, going to a crowded restaurant that's real popular.
That's the solution. That's what we need. So that's the end game.
So now tighter and brighter for your listening pleasure. Happy Tuesday, everybody. It is time for our mailbag, and let's get right to it, shall we? That's a good idea, Mike. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Well, it's about time you did it on a Tuesday.
Well, what's your problem?
My problem is you're not doing the mailbag when you're supposed to do it on Tuesday. Rob puts it together on Tuesday.
Why don't you just shut up and let me read the mailbag? I'm doing it, all right?
Why don't you just shut up?
Why don't you shut up? Hi.
Mike's homage to the movie The End.
Yes.
Thank you very much. By the way, and here I am in my dimly lit studio.
You look good, though. Yeah, look good.
I mean, I know it looks bright to you, but I'm like going... All the lights, like, in a different direction. That's TV lighting, everyone.
Mike, when we get a vaccine, I'll come down and help you with the lighting.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Thank you. Mike, thanks to you and the rest of the crew for continuing to bring the funny day after day, and especially each Friday for the virtual cocktail party. We're trapped with our own success with that. We can't stop doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Going to destroy my liver. I have been attending your soirees each week, and I am thankful to put a pause on this world.
I'm glad you said it, because there's really no good way to abbreviate
No way of, I can't say SES world.
No,
A break that allows me to feel normal again. I started listening to you guys back in the 90s on the Reno station and found a way to keep listening online after I had gone away to college. Your show got me through cancer back in 2001 when I did treatment at UC Davis. Rough patches in grad school. I remember calling into the old show drunk after bombing an exam.
I love those calls.
That's funny. I blew my exam. I called out of Mike.
It'll help.
There we go. And recently when I was confined to my bedroom with the Rona, he had the COVID. Wow.
This guy should be called Lucky.
That's high risk too. If he was on, if he had the casino, he probably get a little high risk. The chemo. You guys got my mind off of things and helped me pull through. Oh, that's wow. That's awesome. I love this letter. Although the grad school exam flunk was of my own doing.
Oh, well.
I just wanted to say thank you, guys. You guys are truly working for the common good. Grady, is that really McGranahan?
Isn't that a great name?
Grady McGranahan. Hey, McGranahan.
Strong name.
I love that. That's awesome. Yeah. Thank you.
Grady. Not enough Grady's in the world.
Grady. I have a question for Oscar, next letter says. I don't understand why the D.C. Metro isn't getting all the track work done now during COVID-19 when hardly anyone is riding the rails. And that, well, all you have to do is live in D.C. for your whole life and you'll know
understand,
answer to that.
Yeah.
But I'll let Oscar handle it. In that case, it could be all finished when the city is up and running again. Do you think it's money, bad planning, poor management? Using your business degree expertise, what are your thoughts? Thank you. William Edwards.
In my class in business school was an executive from Metro.
Really?
And we got great insight, public information, that it comes down to money. There was a extreme deficit where, if you recall, Mike, you might not have been here, but they had to bring in a new CEO, like an emergency CEO, because it was being run so poorly. So the idea of spending...
Wow. Oh, I do remember that.
Spending more money...
Is this under Bowser's watch?
Well, no, this is pre-Bowser. It's been decades of mismanagement.
Mm-hmm.
And it really, it's what you bring in, you can't, like, you can't put out what you don't bring in. If they're already not making money, they're not going to continue building that infrastructure.
Wow. That's sad. That so that's sad. It's a money issue. You just answered it.
Yeah.
Next letter says, hi, guys. I have but one thing to say. The show sounds absolutely amazing. You should sell your services to the world of podcasts. No other show right now sounds as smooth and as seamless as TMOS. I applaud you. Well, we have the same glitches that all podcasts have.
It's also just a team effort, sir.
We try to keep them down to a minimum. Yeah. I've been a fan since 2000 when I moved to Vermont from Chicago. You cured me of Steve Dahl. I can never repay you for that.
That is the line of the week.
You cured me of Steve Dahl.
He loved his chocolate soda.
I never listened to... Yeah, I listened to a lot of Steve Dahl back in the day. What I loved about Steve Dahl's show was... And what I learned from... I never got it as much as he did. But Steve and Gary, which was a big show in Chicago back in the 90s, I remembered their pacing. I liked that. And it wasn't fake. It was just kind of two guys talking, and they weren't afraid of the pause, which I always thought was kind of cool on radio. Now, then there are guys. We have these two guys, local guys down here in Fort Myers, Stan and Haney, and they do the pause too, but they almost sound like they're doing it just to fill the time.
Yeah.
Where Stan hears the story. But I still like the pause. I still think it works. So let's have one right
now. When Steve and Gary... Oh, yes.
Thank you. Thank you for allowing me to pause.
You know, when Steve and Gary broke up, I think it was nice that pacing, Gary brought it when he worked with Tony Perkins. So it was...
Gary Stein?
Yeah, oh, really? Gary Stein, yeah.
I heard from Tony Perkins.
How is Tony?
He is great. He's alive. His family's good. And he sends his salutations.
Good
He was just calling to say hello.
Oh, that's
He's a good
nice.
Man, and that's why I've been pals with him for a very long time. Thanks for all the laughs, that guy talking about Steve Dahl. Eric Spencer is the name of that gentleman. Moving right along. Hi, guys. What was the name of the turntable that you guys recommended for the new record-playing novice?
Techniques.
Rob, that would be you, right?
Yeah, it comes up in the editor's note if you finish the letter.
I have a Credenza from the late 70s that I'm inheriting from my mother. But I don't have the space for it yet. I'm itching to get it into the record collecting, to get into the record collecting game. And I value your expertise. Does Rob remember the model? Best Shane. Here's the editor, Rob Spiewak. He says, buy the Audio-Technica LP120X USB. Available at Walmart via the TMOS Shopping Center.
And there actually, if you search Audio-Technica turntable through the Walmart link at the TMOS Shopping Center, you're going to see a lot of different models, and they're all quite good. I really like the LP120. That's the one that Mike has, and I have it in my own home as well.
And mine's Bluetooth, too, right?
Yeah, it Bluetooths, and it has also, what's really cool about it, has the option for a line level out without getting into the weeds too much, so you don't need a phonographic preamp for it. And it sounds great. It's a really great... piece of equipment.
So the Bluetooth, does the Bluetooth work without a preamp too?
Turntable?
Yes. Because I'm moving off of my speakers to my receiver that's a Bluetooth receiver, my big Yamaha thing, Rob, and I'm wondering if I can use that.
If you can, I would still do a hard connection because you're going to get a slightly better fidelity. But I swear, of all the things we've ever recommended on this show, I've sold more of these Audio Technica turntables than anything.
I tried to get Rob to gift Rob my father's Techniques turntable.
Mm-hmm.
It's like in pristine condition. He never let anybody touch it.
Right.
And I'm literally walking out of the house with it when I visited my mom. This is years ago.
Right.
And she said, "What are you doing?" She goes, "Oh." I was like, "You guys don't ever listen to records. You got another record player down there." I was like, "Rob's a big fan. I'm gonna give this to him." And she said, "What?" I said, "Dad's not even here. He's gone for half the year. Like, he's not gonna want this." And she said, "You just can't give away your dad's Techniques." And she Techniques. And I said, "All right, well, I'll call him. He's not gonna want it because this is when you know you're gonna show your mom what's what."
Exactly.
Call my dad. He answers WhatsApp. It's free. Why not? He. He goes, Isaac, papi, el señor Rob quiere tu Techniques, porque no lo usa. So, like, because you don't use it, can he have your Techniques? He goes, no. Hung up the phone. Right back downstairs.
There it is. And you turned around and brought it right back
right
inside.
Downstairs, a grown man.
Well, I know one thing about the Techniques 1200. I have never had a broken one that I swapped out at a radio station that I worked at.
Rob, thief. You're not trustworthy. Like, you brag about stealing from work. And you're at work.
Hey, you know what? I will never steal from this company, but there were other companies that stole from me.
I'm sure.
So, when CBS steals my life, I swap out a turntable. Right. This happens.
Yeah. Rob will be in, like, Argentina when we get the final audit. Mike, Rob,
come
Oscar,
visit.
I enjoy the Friday Mike O'Mara cocktail parties, but how about a blast from the past? Could we have an absinthe show?
Now, I'm curious on your thoughts because you know what? I never participated. I've never done absinthe.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Isn't there a guy that does that? Is he still alive? Yeah, he's still alive. He's a young guy.
I hung out in my bar with him for a while. Used to come by. God, the kicks we've been on. Anyway, I know this bit predates Oscar, but we don't know how he'll react. Or is this just a recipe for disaster? I'll hang up and take my answer off the air. Thanks, Christopher Puntani. I don't know. I'd have to think about that, Chris. I'm not really sure. It's a conundrum. I'm not quite sure.
I'm at an age where I'm not sure that I want to go into an arena that I've not played in before.
I understand that. I understand. It's not like it's a hallucinogenic substance. I mean, that's from the myth. But that's back when a lot of stuff was going on in my life. It helped. Next letter says, "Hi, Mike, Rob, and Oscar. My husband, Bill, and I have been devoted fans since the Don and Mike days. Thanks for continuing to get it done during the pandemic. Today, we are celebrating Bill's 65th birthday. You know, the big one, Medicare and all that. I usually screw up and forget to send in the announcement to you guys, but I believe it's imperative that I do it right this time because this pandemic has created stress on all our relationships. And who knows what may happen to me if I mess up." Wow. Sounds foreboding. "By reading this notice, you may very well assure my survival for at least a few months. Most appreciated." It's a poor, put-upon woman here.
I know.
"Bill and I went to Vegas to see your show with our friends last November. However, I wound up with a 24-hour virus and had to miss it. Everyone else thought you guys were totally awesome, and they even wound up in the first row. Thanks for making our lives more bearable during these times. You all are fabulous, and thank you for extending my life." Love, Trisha and Bill Lukens. You better treat her better there, Bill. Bluemont, Virginia. I love Bill. That's awesome. Bill. Gail and Bill. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, more fun. I will tell you about what my sister saw.
I can't wait for this.
Show and tell right here on the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody. King's Things. And now, here's Larry.
I think email is black magic. The clam is the perfect food. I get winded when I stir my yogurt. I have mysterious keys on my key ring. No idea. The TMOS shopping center is Target and Walmart. MikeOmerishow.com. If you shop there, you help. Okay? Buy things because it's good. Oof. What an emotional week. Thanks, Larry. Appreciate it.
He doesn't know
Welcome
what the
back.
Keys are for, Mike. He has no idea.
He doesn't know. His little talons. Just pecking around. This portion of our program brought to you by Noom. Crash diets always temporary. If you want to keep those pounds off, you have to adjust your lifestyle. That's why I love Noom. Noom helps users learn to develop a new relationship with food through personalized courses. Noom teaches you why you do the things you do, the way you do the things you do, and gives you tools you need to ditch bad habits and replace them with better ones. Noom is not a diet. It is a healthy and easy to stick to way of life. My favorite part, Noom has one of the biggest food databases available. It has literally everything at a glance. It's food tracking made easy. Ultra helpful when you're cooped up at home. It's the best. Oscar, you love Noom.
It. Yes.
Carla is looking good. You know that. You don't have to change it all in one day. Small steps make big progress. Sign up for your trial today at Noom. That is Noom.com/TMOS. What do you have to lose? Visit Noom.com/TMOS to start your trial today. That's Noom.com/TMOS. All right, I've teased this a couple of times on the show. There is a community group up in Maine where I've spent many summers, and where I hang out. Under normal times, I'd be prepping my way to go up there within the next week or so.
I would say probably this weekend might be your departure.
And I still may find myself going north. I'm not sure. Nobody really knows what their plans are. It's not like it was a year ago, so we don't know for sure. But there's a community group, like there are in so many different mm-hmm. parts of the world, and they put newsletters out about coronavirus, and they put newsletters out about there's a little library, community library up there about what's going on. And they've got, you know, it's this small little community.
Yes.
And they write a newsletter. So this is what I get. I'm on their email list, and this is interesting. And so I get it from the website, the community forum.
Right.
And I read this yesterday. This was about 17 hours ago on Monday. I read this, and it says, there was a large black bear lumbering through the Crocker House property this morning.
Whoa.
Lumbering. Continuing on through Ted O'Mara's yard across Beach Lane into this other family's house.
Wow.
That's there. And then back into the woods. And it is signed by my sister, Kathy.
Your classic looky-loo.
Yeah. So, Kathy.
Neighborhood watch.
So much going on up there. There's a bear
That's
sighting.
That's a big deal. People should know about that. But aren't there always bear sightings?
Well, not up there.
No.
I mean,
when Mike's in
you've
town.
You've been up there. It's kind of a peninsula, right? You go out there. It's like, you know, there's a lot of water on either side as you're driving down that point road, you know?
Mike.
Yeah, there's not enough woods, I think, to support bear traffic, I think.
This is what I deduce. If the ducks from the Georgetown waterfront are now halfway up Wisconsin looking for food because nobody's out and about, the bears that live like a stone's throw away from where Mike is from, they're literally, if they don't see too many cars or that much activity, they're going to pretend like, oh, it's safe to come out. We'll do what we want.
I all day long, I forgot to call her. And, I'm waiting all day. And then I forgot to call her about this.
Yeah.
So I pick up the phone, and one of the rare times where she answers it, and maybe she thought it was another number. I don't know. But, I mean, it's my number. She should have me in her phone.
I get the same thing.
So she goes, hello. And I said, hello. I'm looking for the lady that spotted the bear. I got a bear in my property, and I think I just wanted to – I heard that you're the bear whisperer.
Yes.
She's like, shut up. Shut up. I said, yo, what are you going to do? I hear you alerted the entire town that there's a bear on the loose, by golly.
And, on the loose.
So she gets very excited, and she tells me you know, that we could – I wish I could call her. Let me call her right now and just see – if we can get her on.
How often have you been in touch with her during all this pandemic stuff?
We've Zoom called. She wants us to come up there. Yeah. And, you know, but she tells the story that she, there's a nanny up there for this family that has apparently little babies. And I think she may be from another country.
Ooh.
Oh.
You know, and so Kathy drives by the street, and she sees this lady, I think, strolling two children simultaneously, one of those double strollers. And that's when she gets up ahead of the lady. She sees the bear.
Oh.
So she goes by the bear. she realizes this lady's strolling two babies on her way right into the mouth of the bear. Mm.
Exactly. That's not okay.
Lunchtime.
So she has a U-turn. She hangs a U-turn.
Right.
At this point, sees the bear go from the one property to my cousin's property to another property and then back into the woods, and then decides she's going to be the helper. Wonder Woman's going to go down and see the lady strolling the two kids. And the lady, she looks at the lady. She said, "There's a bear just up the road there. Mm-hmm. You might want to turn around." And the lady apparently says to her, "Okay," and keeps going.
Wow.
Which really pissed Kathy off. You know? Kathy likes to fix things. You
being
know?
A superhero,
I'm telling you,
here.
There's a bear. I want you to hang a U-turn and go back home. Well, go back and quarantine yourself because there's a bear.
That's Kathy funny. Wanted not only the U-turn on the stroller, but a scream and running. That's what she wanted.
Right.
That's what she
Thank
wanted.
Thank you. Thank you, Fred. All right. So how about not being able to open the phone? Why don't we add that as I'm sitting here constantly trying to open the phone that had the broken screen as I try to do that right now? Swipe up. Swipe up. There you go.
Yeah.
There's my little thing. Swipe up. Swipe up on the phone. The worst phone ever, ever invented
in the
world.
Was that happening before the screen broke?
Huh?
Before your screen replacement.
You know what, Oscar? Another day, another F up with the worst iPhone. The iPhone MaxiPad is the crappiest iPhone I have ever had in my lifetime. You know, all I'm trying to do, all I'm trying to do is do this. That's it. And it doesn't work. Well, we'll call Kathy another time. And that's it. I was really going to look forward to chatting with her, but that's not going to happen now. So, Rob, I guess we can hit the music and go to break. When we come back, can we address?
Yes, absolutely. I was going to ask Kathy if she had secured all of her picnic baskets.
Mr. Ranger. God, I hate this product. When we come back, I want to talk about the new iPhone 11, and I also want to talk about making the final switch.
Oh.
The switcheroo. Ooh. Away from this crapola.
Look at that.
Don't like it.
I want to
leave the Apple. Oh, wonderful. We'll do that when we come back on the Mike O'Mara Show.
They're doing the mess around.
There's now a new way for you to show your support for the Mike O'Mara Show with Facebook stars. What is it?
A way where listeners can support the stream by buying stars and then donating as they will right to the show.
When you watch TMOS on Facebook, look for the star. Give it a tap and send as many as you want, all for just a penny a star. You can watch and give anytime.
Stay up late and watch the stars come out.
Each star helps the show and is an easy way for you to keep that comedy train chugging along.
The more stars, the more we stay on.
You got that right. Facebook stars and TMOS. Give a little to laugh a lot.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Boy, did you people step up Friday, and we hope you step up again because it's really become a fundraiser for our show, and we appreciate you sharing the love with us by showing the stars. I have not really dived in yet and seen how this is done. I'd like to do it to see if I knew what I'm talking about. I can't even
Let's
talk about it in general
tomorrow.
Terms. Yeah. We'll do that. I'd love to do that. That would be a lot of fun. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Stamps.com. Just hold your finger on it, Michael. Maybe you'll see that Apple logo at some point. There you go. Very good. For all our sakes, we need to avoid crowds any way we can, but what if you need postage to send out letters and packages? Have no fear. Stamps.com is here. Anything you can do at the post office, you can do at Stamps.com. Print your postage on demand and skip those crowds at the post office. No human contact required. It's that easy. Stamps.com brings all the services of the U.S. Postal Service right to your computer so you can stay hunkered down. And as if that wasn't enough, Stamps.com also offers UPS services with discount rates up to 62%. And with Stamps.com, you don't have to pay UPS residential surcharges. Plus, 5 cents off every first class stamp. That's a bingo. Stamps.com is the best, saving time and money and keeping you safe in these crazy times when nobody really knows what's going on. Right now, our listeners can get a special offer that includes a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a digital scale without any long-term commitment. Just go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in TMOS. That's Stamps.com, promo code TMOS. Stay safe, my friends. Please
hey,
do.
Apple.
All right.
Apple. Hey. Hey, Apple. Hey.
Mike, what seems to be the problem with your device?
All right. I have now, I couldn't open it.
Mm-hmm.
And now I powered it down mm-hmm. and rebooted it, and now I'm powering it up again.
Ah,
it
very
doesn't
nice.
Seem to want to do yep. that very, very quickly, because I would really like to get a bear update from my sister just to find out what's going on with the bear up there, if it's been sighted again. But the iPhone 11, I looked on my little package where you got the upgrade thing, where you're allowed to, after a certain period of time.
I lease, Mike. Why own when you can lease?
I think I probably do the same thing. I think I do the same thing, and I have an additional fee for... Why does it say
so
iPhone
if you
disabled?
Upgrade early, you have to pay out your
It says
phone.
iPhone is disabled. Try again in 1 minute.
Oh, well, it might have been locked. Like too many codes, too many tries to open.
But on the bright side, it's going to get a great parking space.
Yeah. Park right up front. Right up front.
All right.
Right next to the door.
So this is a phone where I will be texting someone mm-hmm. or I will mm-hmm. be calling someone. Then I will simply put it down. And all of a sudden I hear... And it's ringing someone from earlier in the day. Absolutely haven't touched it.
Yeah.
I've never had a phone that does this.
Haunted.
I've done, and last week we did a thing where Oscar had me go in and make the screen dark to save
yes.
battery.
Yeah.
Didn't
yeah.
really do anything for me other than make it harder to see what's going on my phone.
Okay.
It didn't really, maybe it helped battery a little bit, but not a lot. And I just, this phone, my knock on the iPhone Max is, or X Max, that's what it is.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Is that it's got a mind of its own and it just doesn't do anything for it. It's not easy to operate. It's almost too smart for its own good. I would love to get a review on the latest one. Do they ever dumb them down a little bit? Like make a better camera and maybe make it simpler to use? I know it's you know, it's just ridiculous. This phone has a mind of its own.
The user experience really doesn't change. You're not the only one that actually calls people by accident. And I'm not saying that it should make you feel any better.
Like, but I am the king of the butt dials.
Yes, you are. But I do. So there's a feature on the phone. If you click the home, not the home button, but the button on, if you're facing your phone, the button on your right. Right here on the side, right here.
Oh, yeah.
If you hit it twice, Mike, it'll call the last person. That's a shortcut. It'll call the last person that was on your phone.
Oh, okay.
If you click it twice.
Well, welcome to something I have no need for.
So
I don't need that extra nerd garbage bullshit. hey, click it twice and it'll call. If you read the manual, you click it twice, you can call the last person, as opposed
what
to maybe
manual?
Just going into the phone.
Apple yeah. is never going to manual with
there's
their phones.
Digital,
ever.
There's a digital manual.
Yeah, but who does that? So, I want a piece of paper that I can open up. And it's first it's English, then it's Chinese, then it's French, and
it's
then
nice
I put it in a drawer.
All those, I like all seeing those the languages. Language.
Mike, I'm curious because my kids.
Hold on,
and,
Rob. I finally opened.
Oh, good. Good
there
for
we,
you.
There we go.
Sorry about that. And sorry you guys won't be able to talk because I don't have the capability to call out, which I probably should hear.
Yeah,
I could probably
should,
do it on my.
Yeah, we will.
Yeah. Yeah. There we go. The busiest lady in America right now.
Maybe she's trapping bears.
Hunting.
Or lame bear traps, even better.
All right. She's not going to answer after all that. After all that crap that I went through right there.
Almost. Your call has...
Now, shut up. Answer your damn phone. What are you doing today up there in Maine?
So,
all right.
My kids and my wife have the more modern iPhone like you have, and I still have, I believe it's a 7, that has the clunky button at the bottom.
Yep.
And if I have to do something on their phones and they say, Dad, just swipe up, I find it incredibly anti-productive.
Anti-American.
I like having a button. Do you miss having the button,
Mike?
Do
you mean counterintuitive?
Counterintuitive and counterproductive. I mean, it's just, I just watched you swipe up, swipe up, swipe up, swipe up, even with the button. Sometimes
the home
it's hard
button
for me
is
to,
gone in the new
I iteration. Know, and I miss the home button. I like a home button.
Well, you know what? I know I'm an old man and I hate the technology. Tell me about your 11. How do you like the 11? Is it a major step up?
It's got a much better camera. That's those bare bone like facts. Like if you want to take better pictures, it'll help. And you think you take great pictures now with the device you have, you'll take better pictures because it gives you more options, better lens,
mm-hmm.
and a faster chip in it. Was it worth the upgrade, Mike? The iPhone 11 came out in September of last year, and I didn't buy it because I was like, I'll wait because I had the previous model.
Is that the one with the three lenses on the back that looks like an electric shaver?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
I remember
when
that came out.
And then, so I waited. I had my re-up was in March, so I waited till the lease was up, so I didn't have to pay anything, and then I upgraded. It's been worth it, but the same pain points as dialing somebody by accident or it not unlocking. Those all come, and for you nerds out there that care, those all come with the package. That happens. There are some updates that are coming out soon, Mike, that are going to help with a lot of security flaws, just overall performance, and that comes with the software update 13.5, if I'm not mistaken.
That's good. A good one. Give us another 15 software updates.
Yeah. Do you update your phone on a regular basis?
Yes, I do. Okay. Then you should do. I update my phone. By golly, I do. I'm just a little frustrated right now that the busiest woman in the world. You know, I guess it seems to me that people that don't answer their phones are privileged people. That's the way I want to look at it.
You know what? Yeah.
Maybe she's so privileged. She must be getting a COVID test.
What about this? If you're fighting for survival, you think that call might be business or something important.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you pick it up. I picked up so many terrible calls being like, hello?
Yeah, if I don't recognize the number, I don't. But if I get somebody, I try to be, although I can be bad for it too. Like, for example, right now, yes.
I'll pick up one that says spam risk sometimes. It'll just
you don't record them anymore. That's another thing you used to do that you don't do anymore.
No, I don't get. They haven't been tasty enough. I've tried a couple times. They bail on me, and a lot of times now they're computerized.
Used to love you screwing with telemarketers.
I've heard him do it at work, Mike. Just by himself trying to get somebody,
right?
And then like they have a SPIWAC radar.
It's harder than it used to be.
I haven't seen one go more than like 2 minutes ever.
Yeah, it's tough. It's really tough
at the office because I'm like. Because it kind of annoys me when we all work together in one place. Remember the good old days?
I remember.
He would be doing his
show. By the way, when's Pony coming back to work?
Well, we can't have anybody past June 8th. Mike, we've talked about this.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I always ask. But it's a strange time. We're all getting desensitized.
Well, you live in a state that's wide open. I can see you thinking that. Yes.
Yeah, but I don't do it. I don't go out. I don't go out, and I will go. I will wear a mask and go to the grocery store. That's it. That's what I'm doing.
I would love human contact.
I bet you would. We're all going squirrely. But all I'm getting from you, human contact with the phone, is you're telling me it's got a better camera.
And then
the software updates that they could put in this phone will improve some
things. It's not worth spending the money.
And I've got my black background.
And the iPhone 12 just came out.
Right.
So the iPhone 12.
Really? Why do they make one every week? What's going on?
So the iPhone 12 is more of a bargain phone, like for an everyman phone. Now, will they have...
It's made of wood, Mike.
Will they have an iPhone 12 higher model? Yes. So I would wait for the higher model 12 when it comes out.
Bear with me just a second.
I'm texting my sister here. It's nice to be important.
I love it.
But maybe she's in yoga. Important to be nice.
Oh, wow.
Okay, thank you. There you go.
Mike having trouble with swiping up to open his phone. Do you think that's problem related to his aftermarket glass?
I didn't want to go there, Rob.
No. When I was coming from my recliner to the studio, my recliner where I put together a spanking news you may not need today. Mm.
Right?
Can't wait.
So taxing. So hard to do. cut, paste. I was actually hearing it go, it's vibrating, because my hand is hitting something as I'm holding two things at once. It's just, it's a pain in the ass. Now, if I wanted to switch and get a sweet new deal with one, these carriers that are always competing with each other, what is your carrier? What do you have now,
Verizon.
Oscar?
I got Verizon.
Rob Spiewak, what do you have?
I have American Telephone and Telegraph.
All right, you're AT&T, I'm AT&T. I'm thinking about maybe doing a little switcheroo to get a sweeter deal.
Well, you know what? If you mention that to AT&T, they will jump through barrels to keep you. That's how I got free HBO for life on DirecTV.
All right. Always seems to work for you, but it never seems to work for me. I'll say, I'm thinking about leaving AT&T. So long, sucker. See you later. You
know. What about the signal? Like, do you get good signal with every carrier at your place?
I don't know the answer to that because I've only had AT&T since I've been down
that's
here.
Tough.
And outside of Bonita Springs, Florida, you know, it does well. There's some really big deal where the she community down the road in Bonita Springs decided they didn't want an ugly cell phone tower near their community. So you have a black hole between the beginning of Bonita to the end of it towards Naples. Apparently, it's a real black hole for the whole
work at home deal.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they're
really,
loving that
really
now.
Wonderful for people.
Of course, people at Bonita don't have to work, so it's okay.
if you were to leave the Apple company and get another phone, what's the phone you would recommend?
Oh, I'd go to the Google Pixel.
The Google Pixel.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
But what about the Cricket?
It has its own pain points. You got to learn a whole new.
I want Cricket.
Cricket Wireless. I think is owned by AT&T.
See, there it is, America. Yeah, bend over and grease yourself up because AT&T with their giant FU hog is coming to get you. That's what's happening.
Oh, that's a bad hog.
Yeah, it is. We got to take a break. We'll come back with news you may not need right here on the Mike O'Mara Show. I learned absolutely nothing from that segment other than the fact that my sister chooses not to answer her phone when people call. Thank you. We'll be right back, everybody.
This is Gary Busey. Sometimes I like to buy things, but now's not the time to go out to my local box store to stock up on Busey essentials. Things like Cheez-Its, Vaseline, shoelaces, and tape. So I use the TMOS Shopping Center, Target, and Walmart. It's right there at MikeOMaraShow.com. It's like I always say, shopping online puts the cream cheese on your dog's nightly daydream. Museisms. By the way, I shopped like this way before COVID-19. You see, managers asked me to stay out of their stores. Something about upsetting the shoppers. They've been asking me to cover my face since 2014. Remember, this really works because you can't go fishing if you don't tie up the gorilla cabbage. Museisms. The TMOS Shopping Center. I love it at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Hey,
thank
Mike.
You. Yeah.
I just got a text from your sister Kathy, and she recommends her phone. She has the Samsung Privilege, and it's wonderful.
There you go. Thanks for answering. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by our bonus packages. Remember the Dudley Moore movie 10? That was Bo Derek running down the beach. Was there ever anything more lovely than that? Well, was there, Oscar?
No.
Yes, there was. Oh. And I'm speaking, of course, of the TMOS bonus cocktail party. It's gorgeous. And what do you like to do to the Bolero? Oh, I love that scene. And speaking of 10, this Friday is cocktail party number 10. And it won't be the same without you. Give me a little more level on that, Rob. It's a full TMOS episode, followed by the drunken bonus hour. If you miss it, woe be unto you. Tune in and drink with us and give us a call, 888-920-6673. We provide that the bonus stream is a free service, but after it streams, you know what it does. You say it every
goes
week,
away.
Same thing. And a subscription just might cure your lazy eye. It couldn't hurt. It's your passport to the Asport. Copyright 2020 TMOS, 7 p.m. Eastern. The fun starts on Facebook Live. Cocktail Party 10, and this music is... The Bolero by Ravel. Haha, culture. Right. Thank you. Yeah, start the thing.
News!
Boo! Alright. Trying to do a decent show. Getting a lot of obstacles. Someday they're just making you go through the obstacle course, alright? Sometimes you get done doing a show and you feel like you're looking at Arlie Ermey who's saying, "Get the F off my obstacle! Get the F off my obstacle!" American Idol, this fascinating story that I read a lot about yesterday. American Idol fans who watched Sunday night's season finale noticed that by the end of the show, Ryan starting having trouble speaking and one of his eyes was almost closed.
Oh, no.
Now, I watched the video. Hold on, Rob. I watched the video of this and it was true. He did look like he had a little issue on one side of his face. Yesterday morning, he was replaced by Mark Consuelos on Live with Kelly and Ryan. Might say that Mark was just waiting for this moment. No.
Sure.
I don't think that led to speculation that Ryan suffered a stroke on live TV. Yes. What were you going to say, Rob?
Two things. First of all, well, he has always modeled his career after Dick Clark.
Oh, okay. No wonder you were excitedly raising your hand.
But there also, I have a clip where you can see him having trouble forming his words. So here's Ryan Seacrest from the Idol finale on Sunday night.
Cynthia Erivo and the top 11 right there. You can catch her playing Aretha Franklin on the National Geographic Limited series Genius Aretha, premiering this fall.
So I can see where people would think there's trouble there.
Well, no, I have had migraines, and he sounds aphasic.
Yeah.
He sounds like he has aphasia. By the way, if he had a medical, it's so funny when it's the magic box and everybody goes, did you see, like Ryan,
that a person.
they absolutely disconnect from a human being having an issue. It's like, did you see what Ryan did?
Yes.
Like because he's on national TV, he can't have a moment. I have become aphasic on the air when I had a migraine, and it could be a variety of things going on. But if he did suffer a small stroke. Jesus Christ. It's so funny when people
Where's the compassion?
Have attained that level of stardom. You don't think of them as even human. You think of it as this. It was just stunning to me that people were speculating. And the way the whole thing was covered, I found distasteful. So now you've got his rep coming out and saying he's adjusting to the new normal. No, that's crap to publicist. Yeah. So if he had an issue neurologically, just say it. But wouldn't you know, I can almost understand a publicist not wanting to come out and give them any more stigma, fresh meat.
The stigma that comes with that is
yeah,
just,
but you know what? He is a guy that lives on publicity and always has, so they have to address it and try to spin it into something positive.
It's just weird the way it was so insensitive because
it was.
He's so famous. That's what it was. By the way, he is also overworked. But that has nothing to do with it.
No.
If you have a medical condition that would be would result in that, it could be a variety of things. Aphasia, for those of you that don't know, for those of you that are migraine sufferers, for anybody in broadcasting, is one of the most terrifying thing. I've had migraines since I was in my mid-20s, and I really never had it that badly on the air, but I've definitely had moments where I had trouble forming the sentence when I'm trying to get it out because your vessels up there in your noggin mess your brain up a little bit, and you have a problem with it. The worst I ever got was the first time I got it, and I was doing I had my own recording studio on the Eastern Shore of Maryland. I had gotten done doing a recording session with a gentleman named Larry Wax, went on to a very, very wonderful career down in Atlanta, Georgia as a morning man, and I came out of the studio. He left, and then I was like trying to form sentences by myself, and I was speaking gibberish.
Yeah.
And it was just really, really weird. So
I've seen you deal with it. Usually it would seem to happen before the show when we were in afternoons. And I remember times where you would have to go into a dimly lit room with a Diet Coke and just let it pass. And it was a
scary
moment.
Well, that was the visual disturbance. And a lot of times I get the aphasia after that, but not a lot. And it's one of the, as a broadcaster, one of the most terrifying things you can go through. And it just sucks. I mean, I know he's famous and I know he's got 350,000 gigs.
Still human.
But he's a human being and I wish him the very, very best of luck. And if you've got an issue, a neurological issue, get it fixed and Godspeed to you.
Yes.
And, it could be dehydration. It could be exhaustion. It could be any of those things. But for some reason, I truly felt sorry for Ryan Seacrest. Yeah. Now, not when you're doing,
reminded me of the Wolf of Wall Street.
Funny.
And also, Oscar, this happened last Sunday, not 25 years ago.
Yeah.
But no longer
the Wolf of
Quaaludes.
Wall Street when they take the lewds and Jonah Hill is just going, and then he takes the lewds and he can't get into his car.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's crawling across the hotel lobby. And he wakes up and said, "This is your car." And he drove it home. I was fine. Here's something to make you paranoid about your relationship. A couple's therapist recently did an interview and mentioned a sneaky cell phone habit that might mean somebody's cheating. If they always leave their phone face down on the table, they could be texting someone. And they don't want you to know about. The reason is obvious. They're worried you'll see a text come through, so they want to keep the screen hidden just in case. Just that alone doesn't prove anything, so don't jump to conclusions. But if you're already suspicious, it might be more proof. The cheating website AshleyMadison.com recently did a survey, and 82% of members said they keep their phone around them at all times to avoid snooping. So I'm reading this story as I'm prepping the news, and I looked over to Carla's phone, which was sitting on the table next to the sofa, and she was right next to it. She's always very close to it. And, I'll tell you what the results were. Face down.
Oh, no.
And then she talked like the guy in the Spring Break movie. He said, "Why are you so suspicious?"
Yeah, suspicious. Bring bribe. All right, quick hits. Here we go. I'm going to get through these as quickly as I can. Chuck E. Cheese realized people wouldn't want to order their food delivered, but they wanted it on the jump in delivery orders for the pandemic. So they're listed on delivery apps as a fake local restaurant called Pasquale's Pizza and Wings.
That's
sad,
evil,
right?
That's evil.
By the way, Pasquale is one of the other animals in Chuck E. Cheese's animatronic band, and they say that Pasquale's food uses a, quote, thicker crust and extra sauce. There's that. Inventors in Israel have created a face mask with a remote control mouth hole that lets you eat without taking it off. A woman in Florida
who shouldn't
kept...
be a total.
Thank you. A woman in Florida who kept trying to kiss random strangers at a bar called 911 to report the business for not enforcing social distancing rules. Florida. Nice. A soccer team in South Korea has apologized for using sex dolls as fans to fill some seats in the stadium. Apparently, some fish are starting to show signs of loneliness from their lack of interacting with humans during the quarantine. No more details on that. A huge house party in L.A. that was breaking stay-at-home rules ended with a man accidentally shooting himself in the groin.
Ooh.
And a serial underwear thief in Singapore admitted in court that he snuck out during the lockdown to steal a bunch of bras and panties. Thank you. Now, 65% of Americans say that they are planning more road trips this year after being cooped up for the last few months. I don't know where they get these stats. I think they make them up.
Sure.
44% have used their time in lockdown to plan at least one trip. Mm. Anybody? You guys getting wanderlust at all?
I'd like to go somewhere, but I mean, Mike, when you hit the highway and the first sign you see, it says, if you're from New York, New Jersey, quarantine yourself.
Yeah.
Like, you got to go away for 2 weeks and then enjoy your vacation.
Tomorrow we can talk about being desensitized a little bit. It's crazy.
I'm dying to see my dad. He's down at the beach. He's been, you know, quarantining at the beach house. But I don't feel safe leaving. I don't want to put him at risk either. It's horrifying.
Yeah, but I mean, he's been quarantining at the beach house since 2003. Decades.
That's right. Well, he did that for the Spanish flu.
Just over 1918. Just over a third of us would rather drive than fly because it feels safer, and we're willing to add 6 hours and 38 minutes to our trip to avoid being on a plane.
I actually mapped out at one point having to drive my mom to Los Angeles. I was so concerned that she was not going to be okay alone. And that quickly became an issue. It was like, all right, what if I paid someone to drive my mom to Los Angeles?
Hi, is this Mac? Mac, this is Oscar. Listen.
By the way, Oscar, no amount of hours on the road is too much when you're going to be relieved of your duties as the primary caretaker, right? That's the way I look at it. And now a little something. Nestle Toll House is offering a year's supply of chocolate chips as the prize for a contest seeking the most unusual and original recipe to incorporate the company's morsels. Mm. The company announced on social media that it's holding a Remix the Original contest to find the most original way to use our Nestle Toll House morsels in a recipe. Nestle said it will pick 8 of the recipes submitted on Instagram to compete in a bracket-style tournament with the final winner chosen by consumers. So, all I have to say to you is get ready for Carrie Spiewak's Toll House Mind Erasing Chocolate Boobies. There you go, everybody.
Sign me up. Sign me up.
Yeah, you'll eat one and then you'll want 30 more. We'll take a break and come back with the Audio Vault and Rob Spiewak right here on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Welcome to the TMOS International Airport. The white zone is for immediate unloading of passengers only. There is no stopping in the red zone.
The white zone is for immediate unloading of passengers only. There is no stopping in the red zone.
The red zone's always been for loading and unloading. There is no stopping in the white zone.
Don't tell me which zone's for stopping and which zone's for loading.
Listen, Betty, don't start your white zone crap again. There's just no stopping in the white zone.
Why pretend? We both know what you're talking about. You want me to buy you a subscription to the TMOS bonus show.
It's really the only sensible thing to do, if it's done properly, therapeutically. There's no danger involved. It really is the best show of the week.
The TMOS bonus show. Subscribe today and stop sucking.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by the, thank you.
Like Ronald Reagan.
Little product tomorrow. Yeah, that's right. Where's Lex Luthor? All right. Very good. God, what a wreck. Anyway, here's a coronavirus update for you. President Trump revealed that he's taking hydroxychloroquine. Is it Queen or Quinn?
Quinn.
Quinn.
Hydroxychloroquine, despite the fact that there's no proof that it fights COVID-19. However, there is evidence that it can cause fatal heart arrhythmia. But that's not a big deal if you're a heartless bastard. A study from the University of South Australia says that yoga can help ease symptoms of depression. This was not surprising to any man who has ever seen a woman in those pants.
Am I right, ladies?
There you go. And California Governor Gavin Newsom says sporting could return to his state in early June, but without fans. This policy of performing without fans is being called the Realm Network model.
Jeez, oh, throwback.
Rob Spiewak. Wow.
Who wrote this? Funny. Who writes this stuff?
Luckily, the TMOA Shopping Center still has lots of fans. You can get things from Target and Walmart safely from home. Hit up MikeOMaraShow.com, and the banner's right there. Instant access to Target and Walmart. Trust me, if they don't have it, you don't need it. Just make sure you access them through our banner, the TMOA Shopping Center banner. Shop from home and help us out. Also, in medical news, the president is taking mayonnaise to fight obesity. More details as they become available. Let's open up the audio vault. Here's Rob.
It's prescription mayonnaise. Yes. Mike, few character actors in the history of television have left an enduring footprint with a really small role as Ken Osmond as Eddie Haskell on Leave It to Beaver. The name still suggests a characteristic of the teenage suck-up. Mm-hmm. And he passed yesterday. He was 76 years old. They didn't reveal the cause of death. In addition to his acting career, he also was an L.A. He was a Chips. He was a motorcycle cop in L.A. for 18 years.
A real one, not an actor, a real
right.
one.
Wow. And but he had to retire when he was shot 3 times during an arrest. But he kept up his acting, and just a small taste of Eddie Haskell, played by Ken Osmond.
Wally asked that Haskell boy over.
Eddie Haskell? Seems like a nice kid.
You call me Mom?
Yes, Wally.
Good morning, Mrs. Cleaver. That's a very pretty dress.
So he was such a great character.
He was really one of the very first in the world of sitcoms, which was the bit part, the bit player that comes in, and he became iconic because he was the smarmy, sneaky, bad kid, right? He was the kid that was always trying to get over.
In a world of totally two-dimensional characters, we're talking 1958, Oscar.
Right, simple stuff.
The medium was young, and they got this guy that had such a great duality to him, and he was such a dick, but he was always, and here's the great thing, there was a depth because Mrs. Cleaver saw through it. Mm. She knew he was like that. Mm. It's just, Leave It to Beaver is one you don't see much anymore, and I'm sure that it's aged out on some of the younger people.
Do you have any other clips from Eddie Haskell?
No, it's not. There's not a lot of him on YouTube, because
you
want
to do a deep dive on that. I bet you could find some clips, because he did have all those great lines.
Oh, hello, like, he would be Cleaver. Like, sweet, and then he was a dick afterwards?
Oh, yeah. He was totally duplicitous. Okay. He was like a con artist, is what he was. Yeah.
You look very lovely today, Mrs. Cleaver. And then she'd leave, and he'd look at Beaver and say, shut up, squirt. Leave us alone. All right. This was, we got that nice letter in the mailbag about the audio quality of our show, and it's always appreciated. I know that audio means a lot to all of us. I want you to keep that in mind as you hear Arnold on The Tonight Show last night. This is NBC, the national broadcasting company.
Did anybody see the interview with Jerry Seinfeld on 60 Minutes? I mean, it was just like, Jerry had a landline audio connection and was on 60 Minutes. I couldn't believe it. It was terrible. I don't understand sometimes. I don't. But I guess if
they'll
you're at home, you're
get.
At home.
They
take
what they
can
at this point,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
But Arnold was talking about, he has a grandchild on the way with his daughter, and the father is Chris Pratt. And he's talking about the gene pool and how this child probably has an advantage.
You know, inevitably, I'm really looking forward to playing around with whatever it is, a she or he. You know, and have some fun. I think this is a kind of a unique experience. But I was just thinking about, about the gene pool. I mean, think about this for a second. You know, the Kennedy, the Schwarzenegger, and the Brad. I mean, we can do anything. We can go and solve the Cuban Missile Crisis. We can go and kill predators with our bare hands. And we go and train dinosaurs. I mean, think about it. That is a lot of power here.
Wouldn't that have been so much funnier if you could understand it?
You can understand, but Arnold is just on an upward curve of being funny, and it's just, he's funny. I mean, really, I just
naturally
love what Arnold's becoming. You know, it's great. Give him a talk show, for God's sake. Why not? He better have a lot of stuff out.
Every now and then I see something in the social media, like this happens to be TikTok, that makes me feel a little bit like Scott Shannon when I pull it, but I feel I have to play it.
Okay.
Mike, have you ever milked a cucumber?
No, I haven't had the pleasure, Rob. Scott.
So,
Well, here's the thing. Sometimes a cucumber can be bitter. So if you cut the tip off and rub the tip on the cucumber, it will exude a white fluid that reduces the bitterness of cucumber.
All right, stop doing your Shannon because I'm curious. You cut the tip off a cucumber.
Yeah, like about an inch.
And then you turn it around and put the skin end in?
No, and then you have the two raw parts that are facing, right?
Yeah, and then you sort rub them together?
Circular motion, and it will start to exude this sort of white fluid that reduces bitterness. Christ. Let's go to the videotape, shall we?
Wow. Who here has ever milked a cucumber? You cut the edge off the cucumber like this, and then you start like rubbing it together in circular motions. You see, you can already see that white stuff coming out. So I don't know if you've ever had a cucumber that's a little bit bitter, like it just doesn't taste fresh.
I haven't.
That's because you have to milk your cucumbers. Look at all that bitterness coming out. So this cucumber is going to taste so fresh now.
All right. I probably shouldn't be doing this. This is the 80s job. Was she, who did she look like, the lady doing the milking?
She was dark-haired, lovely. I would say maybe she favored Kathy Ireland.
Oh, yeah, I don't think you. I don't think you get on TikTok unless you're, you know, attractive or talented.
Yeah, well, I know. Well, let me just say, since she's hot, I know what she's up to. Okay, I know what she's up to.
We know what you're up to.
We know what you're trying to do. That's why we're playing.
You want to milk me?
You watched the what? What timing? What?
After I watched it, I just wanted a salad. That's all.
Yes, that's there. You go. Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
And we close, Mike. Mike, Italy is reopening its restaurants, slowly but surely.
Some regions of Italy reopened restaurants, but the chefs kept kissing their fingers, so they immediately had to close again.
That's so sad. That's your magic audio ball. Have a good Tuesday, everybody.
Everybody. That's it. We got to get out. Don't forget, another cocktail party comes up Friday, 7 p.m. Keep thinking about those stars.
Stars.
I am. Stars. That's it. And we didn't talk about a another product that might be in the pipeline. We'll talk about that tomorrow. Yes, lots of fun. Lots of fun coming here, Sheree. Rob never got a chance to talk about self-checkout.
It's evil.
It's very evil. And I never got a chance to talk about how brilliant my son is. What he's curious about, the Roman Empire. I kid you not. It's weird. It's the house I'm living in right now. For Rob Spiewak and Oscar, don't say anything. It's Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Bye-bye. Ciao, ciao.
Before you go, please make a mental note. Today's show is made possible by the TMOS bonus packages. You can secure yours right now by going to MikeO'MaraShow.com and clicking on the red bonus banner. Buy it or give it. Either way, you're helping out TMOS, and that's a good thing. Thank you, and go in peace.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
I'm Federal Agent Jack Bauer. Today is the longest day of my life.
I need TV for my bunghole.
Don't tell me you're infertile. I ain't falling for that again.